Everyone's experience is unique to them. This podcast contains the personal story, experience, and opinions of the speaker, rather than that of Breast Cancer Now. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of people who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers, and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. My name is Em and today I'll be speaking with Marcia and Jackie. Following a breast cancer diagnosis in 1998, Marcia turned to yoga to aid her recovery. We'll explore how this has helped her and also get some insight from Jackie, a breast cancer clinical nurse specialist, on some other complementary practices that may aid recovery. Marcia and Jackie, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me.
To start off with, Marcia, could you tell us a little bit about your diagnosis, what life was like for you around that time, and how that news impacted you?
Sure. So I was 32 back in 1998. Please don't do the maths. I had two small children at the time, aged 2 and 4. And I was lying in the bath one evening and just noticed that I had a lump in the crease of my right breast and didn't really think anything of it, just kind of ignored it and left it for a few weeks and then just kept noticing it each time I bathed. And then happened to mention it to my husband at the time. And as soon as I told him, he said, look, you've just got to go and have this checked out. And, you know, I was saying to him, look, it just can't possibly be anything. I can't get breast cancer at my age. You know, it's really not going to be anything to worry about. So anyway, I did go off to the GP, who then referred me to the breast clinic. And again, the GP didn't think it was anything to worry about, thought it was some sort of benign cyst or something. So I did have some investigations. I had a fine needle aspiration and I had an ultrasound. And again, all the time the doctors were saying, don't think it's going to be anything to worry about. So I did go to that appointment all by myself thinking, you know, this is, you know, just nothing is going to happen here. Anyway, I thought when I went back for the results a few days later, I decided to take my husband with me. And I was very glad that I did because the results came back as having suspicious cells. Mm. So I then needed surgery and they decided to do a wide local excision. So I had the wide local excision. The surgeon came round afterwards saying that he didn't really get clear enough margins, so I needed to have more surgery. So I needed to have another kind of chunk taken out of my breast, which, you know, they weren't very big, so they were cosmetically it was going to look quite deformed. Mm. And he said, alternatively, I could have a subcutaneous mastectomy, which would mean trying to preserve the nipple, although it wasn't guaranteed, and just removing the breast tissue and putting in an implant. So I suppose I'm being very, very matter of fact about it all now, but at the time it was really distressing. Mm. I didn't think, you know, that at 32 I'd be considering having a mastectomy and having that sort of the trauma of going through a cancer diagnosis with two young children to be thinking about as well. So I went ahead, had the surgery, had the mastectomy, and that all went really well. The cosmetic result was excellent. I had an expandable implant that was then just expanded over time and kept that in for quite a few years. And it was great. Yeah, and then after that, when I got the histology back, the histology had indicated that I had widespread DCIS, ductal carcinoma in situ, but some of that DCIS had become invasive. So I had a 4 millimeter invasive cancer. So I was very glad that I had opted for the mastectomy because I had peace of mind that all the breast tissue was removed and it reduced any chances of anything coming back. I didn't need any further treatment apart from taking tamoxifen, which I took for a few years. And that was kind of in a nutshell my diagnosis. Mm. and sort of how I went about it. But yeah, I mean, life at that time was, I was just a busy mother of two young children, aged 2 and 4, and my youngest one at the time had just recently been diagnosed as being profoundly deaf. So that was another thing that sort of, you know, I was dealing with at the time. He was due to have some surgery, a cochlear implant. And I guess when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I was really angry because all of the stuff that was going on with my son had to be put on hold while I had my surgery and just recovered from all of that. So my initial feelings were that of just anger. I was really, really angry that life had been put on hold for a few months and that he was losing out on time, that language development time. Mm. So that's kind of another story, but that just kind of gives you a bit of background as to kind of what life was like at the time of the diagnosis. So I was, you know, very angry about it and fearful that I wasn't going to be around, may not be around for the children. I didn't really know what the future held.
Thank you, Marcia, for taking us through that. And as you said at one point, you know, you're talking about it very matter-of-factly. I think once you've had enough time, you do sort of just start recalling it as just a narrative. And we don't often get to speak to people who are so far ahead of their initial diagnosis. So it's actually a great thing to get to speak to you, because I think sometimes people, you know, when they're in a place where they've recently diagnosed, they've recently come out of, you know, active treatment, there's still a lot of anxiety about that, a lot of anger around that. And I think hopefully for listeners to now, as we get further on to the conversation, we can see how you're doing now. We'll kind of see that there is that moving forward that does happen, that is possible. But going back to how you felt at the time, you said you had that anger and obviously a lot of emotion going on around this. And you actually turned to yoga as a way of moving forward. So what got you initially interested in that? Was it mainly for sort of the physical side effects if you were having any troubles with post-surgery, or was it more for the sort of mental benefits? What got you interested in it, and how do you feel it benefited you?
So a short time after I'd been through my surgery and recovery, when life was supposed to be getting back to normal and I had no more kind of hospital appointments or anything, I felt really tearful. I felt on the verge of tears the whole time. I was really emotional, very short-tempered with the children, which was just not like me at all. Mm. And, you know, I couldn't really explain it. I thought, why am I feeling like this when really, you know, I've been through all of this now, I can just get on with the rest of my life. And, you know, this I shouldn't be feeling like this. I didn't really understand what was going on. So I went along to the doctor, my GP, and had a chat with her, and she said, well, I think, you know, you could probably benefit from some counselling. But I shied away from that. I just didn't think that was really my sort of thing. So I decided to explore yoga. And at that time in the late 90s, there was a lot about yoga in the media. You know, you had people like Madonna and Sting doing their yoga. And I thought, okay, I know yoga can kind of rebalance the body. So, and that's what I really feel my body needs, both physically and mentally. I feel that I'm out of balance. Mm. I'm just going to go and check this out. So I was belonged to a gym at the time. I went along to an Iyengar yoga class and I absolutely loved it. I didn't really know what to expect. I just went there with a completely open mind. And I came back after that 90-minute class and thought, this is it. This is what's going to really help me. Mm. And I would drop my little one off at nursery school, dash back to the yoga class, spend 90 minutes doing my class, and then dash back and get him. But that time on my mat was my sanctuary. That was the time that I spent just doing something for me that made me feel good, both in my body and in my mind. So that was my first experience, and I haven't stopped practicing yoga ever since. And obviously over time, I then trained to become a yoga teacher myself and then to become a specialist yoga for cancer teacher. That's how I discovered yoga. Yeah, and I didn't really know the science behind the yoga at the time. I just knew it made me feel good. Mm. But now, having studied the subject more, I understand more why yoga helps people, particularly in alleviating side effects of breast cancer treatment.
Mm. Oh, thank you. That was lovely to see your face light up when you just talk about that experience of kind of first discovering that, especially compared to obviously talking about those initial feelings. Jackie, I wonder if we can just come to you for a second. I mean, the the feelings that Marsha was having just shortly after treatment, I imagine that's probably fairly normal for people that have been through breast cancer.
Oh, absolutely. And I always warn the patients I see now that that is completely normal, because I think when people are diagnosed and they go through treatment, they're so focused on the next appointment or the next part of their treatment, whether it be surgery or radiotherapy or chemotherapy, they're so almost task orientated and just getting through the day-to-day life, that they kind of put back to the back of their mind sort of how they're actually feeling about it. And it's not until treatment's complete and they're trying to get back to what they deem as a normal life, which is not so much normal anymore, you know, all these emotions come up. And I always find that women do sort of struggle, you know, and it can be for, yeah, some ladies are weeks later and some ladies it's months later. But that emotional sort of anger, frustration, you know, the why me questions, you know, why can't I do what I want to do? Because my body's saying, you know, I can't, and my mind's saying I can. Mm-hmm. And it's that inner struggle, I think, that a lot of women have, or you know, even men as well, have, that mentally they want to be able to do things, but physically sometimes, whether it be because of, you know, surgery or side effects of treatment, they just aren't able to. But I think Marsha made a really good point about actually that 90 minutes of carving out for herself. I think that sometimes is a first step, just allowing yourself to have that time in the week that is just for you, you know, and no one else. And I think that is so important, I think, in recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we'll get onto this a bit more, Marcia, when we come to you and sort of talk about more about your sort of specialist yoga for people who've been through breast cancer. But Jackie, perhaps you can give some insight on sort of medical benefits of yoga, because I know that this comes up quite often, as, you know, it's a feasible thing for people who've had surgery and perhaps have some kind of physical restrictions in what they can and can't do. Can you give us some insight into the medical benefits?
So there's the physical aspects, I guess. So it can help with, because yoga can be gentle in a way, so it can do gentle stretches and things. So from a surgical point of view, it can help relieve any, yeah, some people get what we call cording, which is some sort of restriction in movement. Some people get shoulder restriction, things like that, post-operative pain as well. So doing yoga, those gentle movements, that's a gentle stretch out of the area that's sort of causing the discomfort, but also can alleviate sort of side effects of treatment. So whether you're taking endocrine therapy or the side effects of chemotherapy, the yoga can actually have a benefit to that by, you know, it's a physical, but, you know, with the physical aspects, but also the mental health side of things as well.
Brilliant. Yeah. And I mean, we were saying when you started this, Marcia, that maybe it was very sort of popular, very in vogue, and we may not have known as much about it as we do now. So if there's been a lot more looked into this. But can you sort of tell me then how you sort of adapt specifically to cancer patients in your practice?
The things that I focus on in my yoga for breast cancer classes are very much building the range of motion and the mobility in the upper body. So there are different arm positions and different arm movements that we can do to mobilize the shoulders and the chest area, but also to build strength in that area, but without overdoing it. So in a gentle way. So we wouldn't actually come into any downward dog positions or plank positions that you would get in a more general yoga class. So the most that we would actually weight bear on the upper body would be in an all fours position. And we would maybe then take sort of one arm out in front of us, maybe one leg out behind, and weight bear a little bit, always with the option of the student actually resting in child pose whenever they needed to. And child pose is the restorative pose where they kneel back and they just take their arms behind them. So there are always options. I always stress at the beginning of the practice that everyone, you know, is responsible for their own bodies. They need to listen to their body. They need to do what's right for them. And if something doesn't resonate with them, they take time out and take a break. And the other aspect that we work on is very much building up strength. So it's not it's not that gentle a class in that respect, in that, you know, we are building up strength in the lower body. So we're looking at strengthening the big muscles in the legs, the quadriceps, the hip muscles, the glutes. So we will do some traditional standing yoga poses, and we might hold them for a few breaths, or we might dynamically move in and out of them to, you know, increase the blood flow to the muscles. We will end up doing some standing balances, because standing balances such as tree pose are really good for building bone strength. When you're weight bearing, you're building bone strength, and that can be a really good thing, especially with the sort of risk of osteoporosis, osteopenia, and such like with treatment. So there are many poses in the yoga practice that can be adapted, and some don't need to be adapted, others will be adapted, you know, as I said, just such as downward facing dog and inversions. We don't do traditional inversions like headstand or handstand, so you'll be putting your legs up the wall in a really nice restorative way to just alleviate the, you know, the legs and energize the body. And also the breath is a key factor of the yoga practice as well. The breath is really the most important part of the yoga practice. And it's the breath that affects the nervous system. And yoga is all about kind of keeping that balance in the nervous system. And we access that through deep breath in and out through the nose. So yeah, that's, a snapshot of what goes on in my Yoga for Breast Cancer classes, which are both, you know, online and face-to-face as well.
Hmm. Actually, I've had a few patients who have done your class.
Have you?
Oh. And have said, yeah, I did the moving forward class. We had our first face-to-face class last week, actually, or the week before. And two of the ladies in the session had tried your classes, and they said it was just amazing to be able to, they did it online, and just to be able to visually watch what you were able to do. And, you know, I think the importance of listening to your body, because I think people, their mind wants to do it, but their body can't. And I think, you know, our bodies are a really good way of sort of, have a good really way of telling us what we're able to do. And it's, I guess that's the key,
yeah,
is listening to your body. But yeah, they were full of praise, and they absolutely really, really enjoyed the class.
It's lovely to know that the message is getting out there to people.
And I think for ladies too, it's a fear of an unknown, not trying yoga before or not knowing what it is, like when you tried your first class, and then being able to do it almost online and in the comfort of their own home, it gives that little bit of security, I guess, that nobody else is watching, and they can do as much as or as little as they are able or physically able to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a really nice option to be able to have, you know, the face-to-face or the online versions too.
Yeah, I think that's been really important for people to be able to access the classes from wherever they live in the country. It doesn't matter where they live.
Yeah.
You know, they can access the classes online, and as you say, from the comfort and safety of their own home, without having to risk going into a studio or taking public transport to get anywhere at this, you know, particular time in the pandemic. So it's been really beneficial, I think, having those online classes.
We all have to have adapted, haven't we, over the last sort of 2 years, and, you know, everything's gone online. But I think it's for some people, it's to an added benefit, really, because they may not have tried yoga if they had to step into a studio or something like that. It's just that fear of, you know, going to a studio or going into a gym for that first time, you know, they may not have got that far.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The pandemic has caused us to adapt in so many different ways. Mm. And one of them has been sort of, we're now learning more about how we can access things, where, yeah, we can access them. And I must say, though, when I've done yoga in the past, and talking about it now, it's making me want to do it again. When I've done it in the past, I've sort of tried things both in person in a class, and I've tried things at home as well. And what I felt I gained from it, from being in person at least, was sort of that community feel.
Mm.
I feel like yoga was particularly good as a form of exercise because it's very adaptive. The teachers were always very sort of gentle with you and understanding if you couldn't do anything, and they were very kind. It wasn't a sort of, you know, you're pushing yourself too much. It's very much, as you said, listening to your body, but sort of working with other people as well, and kind of just being in that environment. And I wonder if there's something to be said for that as a form of moving forward from a particularly difficult time, especially if you're in a class with other people who have been through breast cancer. I wonder if either of you would like to speak to that side of things, kind of being part of a community and how that can help with moving forward from a diagnosis.
I think from a specialist nurse point of view, particularly in the last 2 years, I think everybody who's gone through treatment has had to do it alone.
Mm.
Just because of COVID, you know, they've had to attend appointments alone, get the results alone, step into surgery alone, you know, have the chemotherapy alone. So actually to be able to see other women, or, you know, meet other women in person, I think particularly from a moving forward point of view, is just a huge benefit, because it's all of a sudden not so isolating. They're not the only one going through what they're going through.
Mm.
And being able to have that, you know, be able to resonate with other people who have been through similar things, I think is vital, and it does aid recovery.
Definitely. And though we may not have that in person still, there is still that form of community online. We have Moving Forward online. We have a Living With Secondary program online as well. So there is still, you know, other ways of accessing that. And Marcia, I wonder, do you do sort of group yoga sessions online at all?
Yes, yes. I mean, we you know, I do my weekly group yoga classes online. And I also do the face-to-face yoga classes at the Future Dreams House in King's Cross for those people who are London-based and able to access those. But I do agree that, you know, a sense of community is just so important. And I'm just kind of thinking back to 24 years ago when I was going through my breast cancer as a younger woman with breast cancer. I did feel really alone, and I don't think there was a huge amount out there for younger women at the time, that which is hugely different now. But I do remember speaking to, I called the breast cancer care helpline at the time, and I spoke to a wonderful helpline volunteer who I found really inspirational. She was, you know, she was an older woman, but she'd been 20 years post breast cancer. And for me, that was, you know, that was a real comfort, although I didn't necessarily know other young women who was going through breast cancer. That person on the helpline gave me hope and inspiration. But, you know, rolling forwards 24 years, look what we've got now. You know, we've got online, we've got social media. I mean, you just have to look at Instagram, and on Instagram, there is a huge breast cancer community. And I think particularly over the last 2 years for people who've been going through breast cancer and haven't had that face-to-face contact, that's been a huge source of support for people. And, you know, where they can kind of share experiences and connect with people. So I think social media, I think on, you know, the online presence that we have, well, charities such as yourself have, is fantastic and really supporting people.
No, I would agree. It's just the face-to-face, you know, even the online services, you know, doing, because I do the Arsenal live sessions with the Moving Forward. And it's just that sense of community, and you know, one question will often lead to another, So it's there's always common themes that you know, but having that to think, I'm not the only one going through that, or I'm not the only one experiencing that side effect, or I'm not the only one feeling, you know, a certain way, I think just helps people validate how they are feeling, and it's okay to feel as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really important message to get through. It's okay, you know, everyone, recovery and thing is different, and it goes at different rates. You know, one person might, you know, feel okay in 6 months, and sometime next person might take 12 months, but it's everybody's own, I don't like to use the word journey, but journey in recovery.
Mm. And with that in mind, of sort of everyone having their own different experiences, how everyone deals with it, I mean, we must say that perhaps yoga isn't for everyone. There might be some people that don't naturally take to it, as, you know, it might not have that that wow moment that you had of Marcia, where you're just kind of like, this is definitely for me. But for some people, it might take a bit longer to warm up to. For other people, it might just be something that they do, perhaps not as regularly. It might be something they just sort of dip into every now and then. But there are, you know, plenty of other complementary therapies out there for if you're moving forward from a breast cancer diagnosis, you know, stepping out of the medical field.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, it's everything to complement what, you know, the medical profession has to offer. But, you know, things like acupuncture, you know, hypnotherapy, cognitive behavior therapies, Reiki, reflexology, there's so much out there that's available. Some of it through the NHS, some of it through charities, and even privately. So there are ways, and they all have their different benefits, but sometimes it's about choosing what resonates with you and what makes you feel better. You know, I've personally used acupuncture, and I really have a really high opinion of it, and I really felt the benefits of it. But then I have somebody else who's tried it and, yeah, didn't see the benefits of it. But, you know, there are bonuses to doing, I think it's what you feel comfortable with and what adds benefit to you.
Mm. And Marcia, was there anything, you know, that you you tried originally as well as yoga? Or is there anything, indeed, you know, even far along, quite far from your initial diagnosis, is there anything that you still find very sort of beneficial, whether it's related to that initial diagnosis or not? You know, we all sort of have our pick-me-ups that we turn to.
Exactly. I remember at the time I I found reflexology really beneficial, and I have continued to find it really beneficial since. So at the same time that I was discovering yoga, I was also discovering reflexology. And for me, that was it was such a treat. I just like having my feet massaged anyway, and it was just it really helped me to relax. And the reflexologist that I had at the time was such a good listener. So she was almost like my counselor, because I could just talk to her in a really relaxed way, and she would just listen, and at the same time just have that lovely treat of having my feet done. So so for me, reflexology was really helpful, but I know that some of my breast cancer students that I teach also have benefited from things like EFT, which is called emotional freedom technique. I don't know a huge amount about it, but it's tapping, and it helps them deal with anxiety and stress and various other kind of side effects that they might be experiencing. So that, you know, might be worth looking into in a little bit more detail, but that's something that's quite popular.
And I think the sort of a common theme with a lot of these complementary alternative therapies, it's not necessarily what you can get out of it prescriptively, but almost if you go in with sort of an open mind, and, you know, if you go to reflexology, and what you might actually get out of that is you might just like talking to that person, you might like the foot massage, it might work for you in a way that you're not expecting. Having that open approach.
It's so true, because when I had acupuncture for myself, you know, I could never articulate how it made me feel, but there was a definitely distinct difference between when I walked into the building and when I walked out. You know, but I couldn't articulate to anyone. So everyone said, well, how do you feel? I couldn't articulate, but there was an added benefit. I felt it within inside me. You know, people get it from what they want from it, I guess, but it is having that open mind. And I think sometimes, you know, Marcia said about sort of talking to a therapist, you know, her reflexologist, and sometimes it's just offloading, isn't it? It's just being able to communicate, and not necessarily in a therapeutic way, but just being able to talk to someone. So everything that's going on in the mind is then sort of released, almost, in a way.
Yes, yeah, definitely. With my Yoga for Breast Cancer classes, because they're online mostly, before anyone joins my group class, I always have a phone call with them before they join the class, and then I arrange a one-to-one with them on Zoom. So I had this conversation with a lady last week, and just noted down her medical history and where she was at with her diagnosis and everything. And we put a date in the diary for her one-to-one lesson on Zoom. And I got a lovely email back from her saying, "It was great to chat today. It's really put me in a good mood to have this in the diary." And I think that kind of sums it up. I think it's really important for these women to have something other than a hospital appointment in the diary, something that they're doing specifically for them. And just to have an online yoga class or an appointment with a reflexologist or whatever alternative therapy they decide to try, or even just a walk with a friend, you know, something as simple as that, just something that they're doing for themselves, a date that's in the diary that's nothing to do with their medical things. And that was just really lovely to sort of get that feedback from her. And I just wanted to share that with you.
I think I agree though, that's really important. That's one of the things I say to my ladies when they're going through their treatment, is have that important date in the diary, whether it's for you, it doesn't matter what it's doing. It will just, you know, it's going to be non-cancer related, hospital appointment related, but it just gives you that something to look forward to, almost. So as you said, whether it is your reflexology or your acupuncture treatment or your yoga class, or it is just catching up with a friend for a coffee, it just gives you that something positive to look forward to. And I think from a mental health point of view, that is really beneficial.
Well, that's fantastic points from both of you there. I think that's some really brilliant advice that you've shared with us. thank you so much for joining us today. And I'm Marcia, we can find you online in various places. Do you want to tell us where we can do that?
My website is www.marcie.yoga. So you can find me there. And my Instagram handle is @yogaforbreastcancer. And I do have a Facebook page as well, which is Yoga for Breast Cancer. So those are the three places that you can find me. And if you're London based and want to do a face-to-face class, you can find me at the Future Dreams House in King's Cross.
Brilliant, thank you. And Jackie, you mentioned earlier that you're involved in our Moving Forward Online sessions sometimes.
Yeah, so I regularly do RCNS live sessions through the Moving Forward course online. And luckily enough, we have just started to do face-to-face again. So I'm a very big advocate of Moving Forward course, and I think it's such an integral part of patients' recovery. So I can't speak highly enough of Moving Forward.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, yes, to anyone listening who wants to access those resources, we'll link them in the show notes, or you can search for them on our website. But yeah, for now, it's been really lovely speaking to the both of you. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you, Em.
If you've enjoyed listening to this episode of the Breast Cancer Now podcast, make sure to subscribe via your preferred podcast provider so that you never miss an episode. Also, if you're able to, we'd love it if you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and perhaps recommend us to someone you think would find us helpful. The more people we can reach, the more we can get Breast Cancer Now's vital resources to those who need them.